I now want to take us to something quintessentially English, something very British indeed, as we head down Oxford Street. So we're going to go from Marble Arch, past Bond Street, to that junction called Oxford Circus, which links with Regent Street here, to, yes, the black and white half-timbered facade of Liberty's. Now, this is everything you think of when you think of the English countryside, don't you? It even has these rather wonderful sort of terracotta chimney pots, like something out of Hampton Court Palace. And Liberty of London started off very much specialising in beautiful fabrics and household wares. But today, it sells everything decorative, from chocolate to clothing. It's a wonderful and very traditionally styled emporium. But interestingly, although when you look at this black and white facade and you think of sort of Shakespeare's houses, it's mock Tudor. It dates from 1925. The shop itself is older than this facade, and you get more of a sense of what Liberty's was like originally if you head down Regent Street a little bit further and look up at the side of Liberty's, and you see something very different. It's this white Portland stone facade, facade with this wonderful frieze along the top. I don't know if you can make out there, but there's in the centre of that frieze, we've got Britannia ruling the waves. And when you look at the figures carved beside her, they represent the Far East, the Orient, Arabia, and its East and West commerce. Why? Well, originally, Liberty's was all about selling beautiful objets d'art and fabrics like satins and silks from the Far East, from Japan, from the Orient, from India and Asia. Why? Well, the founder of Liberty's was this gentleman, Arthur Lazenby Liberty. And he was another draper, this time from Buckinghamshire, came to London and fell in love with all these exotic goods that were coming in from the Far East. And he decided that he wanted to create an exotic Eastern bazaar with these wonderful silks and satins and velvets. So he borrowed £2,000 from his father-in-law and opened Liberty of London with just 3 employees. And it was enormously successful. And he was able to extend and expand his business, pay his father-in-law back within 2 years, specialising in these wonderful fabrics from the Far East. He very much said that he didn't want to be a follower of fashion. He wanted to create fashion. And this in turn attracted the creative set. And suddenly he was getting celebrity customers and painters and artists like the Pre-Raphaelite Brethren were very enamoured with all these beautiful materials that were coming in from far, far away. And then the father of the arts and crafts movement himself, William Wallace, came to see. I just wanted to show you this little detail of the frieze. Can you see? We've got up close, and it's very difficult to see this from Oxford Street, from Regent Street, but you can see sort of veiled and turbaned figures with their sort of different materials. And in the very right-hand corner is a camel, the ship of the desert remembered here. And even oriental figures looking benignly down at you as you walk down Oxford Street. So there's Arthur Lazenby Liberty. And when William Morris, the father of the arts and crafts movement, became a customer, he and Liberty were birds of a feather, and they began to collaborate. And Liberty asked Morris to create these exclusive floral prints just for his shop. And people who know Liberty's will know that these signature flora and fauna and beautiful printed fabric is one of the things that Liberty's famous for. Here we have one of William Morris's most famous designs. This is the strawberry thief, isn't it, that we see on so much upholstery at the moment. And yes, the facade was added later. in 1925, but it very much encapsulates this idea of the arts and crafts movement, because Morris and the arts and crafts movement was about celebrating medieval England, about the folklore and the arts and crafts of a bygone age. And so the Tudor facade really echoes those ideals. Oscar Wilde said that Liberty's was the haunt of the artistic shopper. He very much believed in that. And in fact, the fabrics within are just gorgeous. I mean, there's even a coat of arms, again, very much reminding us of England's heraldic past. And even the windowsills around the shop displays are carved like a Tudor mansion. Inside, it continues, and it's like a miniature Globe Theatre inside, isn't it, with this galleried feel. The actual timber used to create the interior of Liberty's is solid English oak that comes from two dismantled Royal Navy ships that were broken up, HMS Impregnable and HMS Hindustan, actually create the interior today of the essential English shop, really. A wonderful fabrics, beautiful scarves. By the 1930s, you know, any fashionista worth their weight would have definitely had a Liberty, a scarf in their collection, wouldn't they? So we get that sort of feeling of a bygone age just when you walk in. And this is actually when they just reopened after lockdown. Even on top, we've got a sort of a nautical theme, continuing the idea that all the oak came from the Royal Navy. We've got a miniature weather vane. It's 4 foot tall, if you were to go up close to it, of a replica of the Mayflower that sailed the pilgrims out to the New World in 1620. And yes, beautiful designs. And again, as time went on, Liberty's then embraced Art Nouveau as well as Art Deco. And you see that reflected in the scarves on sale today here, and some really rather beautiful handbags too. So I just wanted to stop and share this with you. How's everybody doing? Are we good? Are we well? Any questions, any thoughts?